1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 22. We started on a number of messages regarding this subject. Now, the Apostle Paul writes unto Brother Timothy, a young preacher, a young pastor, a young man. And he says here, lay hands suddenly on no man. 1 Timothy 5, 22. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. And so purity, the subject of purity, and this word purity, the synonyms for it, to be innocent, to just not know about things, which is a good thing. There's some things that you need to know and other things it's good to not know about. Like our Lord Jesus says that the children of this world are wiser in the things of the world than the children of light. And so we don't need to be wise about wickedness. We need to be wise about the things of the Lord and how to live and how to operate. And so, but not wicked, not wise in the wickedness of the world. Another word is modest. Another word is perfect or maturity. We understand that in the scripture, that word perfect speaks about growing up. Chaste is another synonym for this word pure, and clean, which we understand about being clean, not only physically clean, but clean morally and spiritually. We need to be clean. So this about purity has to do with our conversation. Another biblical word that we don't use like in the context or the way that it's used in the scripture. Conversation speaks about what we think and what we do and what we say. And so the understanding that we got last time out of James chapter 1 was this, how it is that sin works. We need to know about that. We need to understand that. Never use it as an excuse, but we do need to know how it is that it works in us. It says in James chapter 1, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, own desire, and enticed. And so that enticing can happen from without. It can happen from within on things that we've seen or heard through the eye gate, through the ear gate. Things get to us, get to our heart. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, when desire working inside, working in the old man, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so sin equals death. Always know that. That disobedience against God always equals death. And so we broke that down last time to understand how this is of things start with our thinking, and then we take that and we can churn that over in our hearts and mind, and then it can come out in our speech or it can come out in our action. And so purity, what does the Bible say about purity? It's not a popular subject these days. You know, you won't find the world talking about purity, moral, character kind of purity. It's a foreign thing to the world. I've been thinking recently about things going on in our land and how it used to be for someone to swear and curse and use vile and vulgar and foul language in public. That was in my younger life, that was not something you were supposed to do. Now it's very common by even our president. He doesn't do so publicly, but our presidents for several decades have been one. And you listen to their tapes, you listen to the transcripts of their talking in private and amongst their in their office and the duties of their office and that. They use just as foul language as anyone. And it's just common. And beware, child of God, because the language of the world creeps in on us. And words that in the 70s, we understood how they were used in the 70s and how it was vulgar and how it was swearing and such as that. And now it gets reconstituted, and even the people of God are using that kind of language. Beware about what you say and how we use words. Don't buy in. If the world is doing it, you can mark it down that it's not good. It's not good. It's not certainly not pure. Sad to say, the only use in our culture and in our day and our world of the word purity would have to do with drugs. How pure are the drugs that you're selling, or the contraband that you have, or maybe some product that would be used. But as far as a character, spiritual, moral, physical purity is out and gone. But that's not the case with the children of God. We are called to such in the Scripture. What we want to focus on tonight is how purity should be with where this all starts. The potential, the start of sin, is our thinking. The Bible speaks about purity and thinking. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians, the epistle to the church at Philippi, and chapter 4 and verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, and understand how this works. We just need to know this about the Word of God, that the Lord used the Apostle Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write the Scripture. He used Paul's manner, Paul's way, Paul's spirit, if you will, the person that he was, and used him, moved upon him with the Spirit of God. And so things were worded in the way that he would word it in that day, in the language of the day. Yet it is the Word of God being breathed through this man, and it comes to you and me. And so understand, just because Paul was used doesn't mean that it's a suggestion, but it's a command. If it's from God, it's a command. And so we need to know that about the Word of God. Very, very few suggestions, a lot of direct, here's the way it is, and may the Lord help us to receive it that way. We live in a day where religion is, the quote-unquote religion and the Word of God is kind of looked like optional if you want to. If it jives in this non-committal society that we live in and culture, if it works for you, then go ahead and beware of that, because God says what He says. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, finally, brethren, he's signing off, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. There's the word. There's that word that we're looking at, okay, and that we found in 1 Timothy 5:22. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. And understand, there's no vulgarity in this loveliness. There's no sordid mind and thinking in this. This is talking about the way that the Lord looks at things that are lovely, that are good, that are right. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, goodness, power to the good, if there be any praise, what's it say? What's he saying to us? Think on these things. Brother Daryl Titus, years ago, he preached a message on stinking thinking, and we naturally have stinking thinking. And how can we not have stinking thinking? Well, think on these things. We've got to apply ourselves to it. We've got to endeavor to do so. We need to go to the Lord to help us with our thinking. Again, the foul item that we would see or that would come to us now, or the past that we have, the baggage that we carry with us on the things that we've seen and heard, we can never by sheer will, grit, and determination shove those out for a blank. It's got to be displaced by something, and displacing it by what the Lord says and what the Lord points us to, by the Word of God. That is where the victory is, and that's what we need. So he tells us these things: true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, good report, virtue, praise. Think on these things. And so we need to think upon the things that are pure. We need to think upon the things that are right. We need to have our thinking pure. See, if we have our thinking pure, then that working of the factory of sin that's within the natural man that we mentioned last time is, if you will, kind of short-circuited for a while, okay? If we're thinking upon the things that are good and the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report, the virtuous things of our Lord and the things of the people of God that are right and good that the Lord has touched us and affected us with, we need to have our thinking pure. If we have our thinking pure, we'll be helped out with what we say and with what we do. And so may the Lord help us in that. Remember, in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 that I just mentioned a few moments ago, see, when he is drawn away of his own lust, okay, where's that happen? That happens inside. Thinking about that kind of thing, looking at that, looking back at it, mulling it over. Am I going to go there? Wouldn't that be enjoyable to the flesh, to the body? Well, how can I position myself and work it out that I can do this? See, that's how things get started. That's how it gets worked. When he is drawn away of his own lust, own desire, and enticing oneself. You know, think about it. If you are staying away from a particular kind of food, let's say coconut cream pie or pecan pie, you're going to refrain from that. We're coming up here in short time to where that might be seen more. So, but anyway, just to give you the example, something that is I enjoy it very much. We're talking about that Sunday, Brother Mark. I think Brother Mark is going over to the position of my father-in-law. He likes two types of pie, hot and cold. All right. So if you're going to stay away from coconut cream pie to lose some weight, or pecan pie to just refrain from that to help out weight-wise, say, or whatever, then what do you want to do? Do you want to keep one around so you can be reminded to stay away from it? Because, and then you then say, well, I'm going to go outside to do some work, and rather than go out and go through the den or the living room on outside and forego the kitchen, say, well, I'm just going to go out the back door and go through the kitchen and walk by that pecan pie, that coconut cream pie that's stacked on top of it, and just walk by it so I can be reminded to stay away from it. What's going to happen? Going to break down, get a plate. No, you're not even going to mess with the plate. You're going to get a fork and just dive into it the way it is, right? We don't need to have it in front of us. We don't need to have it in front of us. We need to put it away. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, when desire hath conceived, and so that's what's happening inside with us. We mull it over. We look. Then we look again. And then we think about it, and we become preoccupied with it. And sometimes it can happen very quick. Sometimes it takes a while of us just going back and mulling it and mulling it and mulling it, justifying it on our hearts and minds. And so what do we need to think about? Those kind of things? No. No, we need to think about the things that the Lord has told us in the Scripture that we need to think about. And by that, we can be delivered from that temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, our Lord said and gave us the example to pray. Been thinking about that more here often, how the Lord has said that we are to pray. Gives us an example of praying that way. Here is where our thinking comes in to conceive disobedience of our Lord. Here is where the factory of sin, if you will, is at work. And so our thinking. I invite you to turn over to James, the book of James chapter 3. We'll take a look at another passage here. James chapter 3. We'll pick it up in verse number 13. James 3, verse number 13. Where the Scripture says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who is there that's a wise man? Has the knowledge of the Lord among us? This is an introspection kind of thing. Is this one you? Is it you? Let him show out of a good conversation. There it is, that thinking, that speaking, that doing. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness, power under control of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. See, you might know how those youthful lusts, those useful desires, we might be able to take and remember those things that we learned when we were younger. And again, if we start churning over on them and putting them in the wrong place, we can go right down a road that we don't belong on. Just even in our heart. And we sure don't need to put legs on it. And we don't need to sin in the heart, and we don't need to sin physically with our mouth or with our body. A wise man endued with knowledge, the knowledge of the Lord, let him show that with a good conversation, what he thinks, what he says, what he does, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if he have bitter and envy and strife in your hearts. Now here he's speaking about controversy between brethren, bitter envying, jealousy and strife and rubbing each other wrong. Where does it start? Well, we take a thing, maybe even take a thing that's not even real and make it into something that is real, that becomes real. We need to watch out for that. We're subject to it. And where is it that it starts? It starts in our hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't go to these places in our minds and in our hearts. The wisdom, this wisdom descendeth not from above, this of lying against the truth and this of bitter and envying and strife that starts in the heart may manifest itself outwardly. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. And we know we need to stay away from that, don't we? We do. We need to stay away from that. For we're envying and strife. We're jealousy comparing ourselves with one another and being jealous of one another, of whatever. And strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And the Lord's work should not be full of confusion in every evil work, should it? It should not. Our homes, our lives, our church. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And there's the word again. The Lord's work is a pure work. That's a work that we need to avail ourselves to. We need to pursue it. We need to ensue it. We need to desire it. We need to be praying that the Lord would show us and open it up unto us and that we would be about it. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And those things need to be the things that we feed ourselves with out of the Word of God and then make a conscious effort to exhibit in our lives from the Spirit that lives within us. You know, Peter says that there's things that we need to, in his epistle there in 1 Peter chapter 1, there's some things that we need to add to our faith. And then Galatians chapter 5 tells us that there's things that the Spirit within us manifests. So we need to add. That's our work. Our petition of the Lord to be added to our lives, to ourselves. And if we're busy doing that, then we won't be dealing with these carnal things and these natural things in the world. These things that just come so easy to us, but those things will be displaced. And then, as we go and as we work, the fruit of the Spirit will be manifested in us. Not the fruit of the flesh, not the works of the flesh. And Galatians 5 speaks about those. You can take a look at those. It's connected to this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, verse 17, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, not a respecter of persons, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And I think we made mention of that, where the Scripture says that the peacemakers, the children of God, will be known as such, as peacemakers. And so may the Lord help us that we ensue and pursue purity of thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's take a look quickly at this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul words this here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And so here he is in pleading this church at Corinth there in Greece, who in presence and base among you, they've had that dialogue with him and about him that he's just not much to look at. when he writes, wow, it's heavy duty. But when he shows up, it's like all fizzle, you know, just nothing. And the thing is, the point that is made is, it's all about the Lord and the truth, not how appealing we are personally. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to be rough and mean and unkempt. But he had that church had that problem with them. He said, "Who in presence and base among you, and being absent, I'm bold towards you." They've already stated that. "But I beg you, I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." There's those that are accusing Paul of his instruction of the church, that it's just what he thinks. He's trying to overlord us and browbeat us into what he thinks is right. But he impledes them about what the Lord says is right. And he is an apostle. Because listen what he says. "For though we walk in the flesh, we live here on this earth. We do not war after the flesh." He said, "I'm not looking for a fight with you. But I want you to be convinced and convicted of the Lord that these things that I've preached unto you in these two epistles, and even before, are true. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the weapons of our warfare are mighty, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So you've got resistance. There's some factions there at Corinth, and I can't pull them down, but the Lord sure can. And his design is that they would be done so. There'd be conviction brought by the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching of the truth. By the rebuke, in this case, of his apostle to this church, as we saw some time ago in these two epistles. Verse 5, casting down imaginations. You know what? The power of God is able to help us that our imaginations that would be bent towards wickedness and sin can be pulled down. The Lord can do that for us. You have a bad thought, you have a thing that grieves you have a thing that plagues you, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Get into His Word. Sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Go to prayer and supplication for those that need the Lord's help, brothers and sisters and those in our family and those in the community. I tell you what, here lately we've got a bunch of people to pray for, don't we? Isn't it something? Isn't it something how at this time that there's been so many that are touched by cancer that we know of? So many. And we need to be bringing them before the Lord. Often. Daily. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, they're not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, even the stronghold of imaginations, even the stronghold of every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God," like our sin. See, when I just take up to go and do what I want to do and sin against God, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying I know more and I'm wiser than the Lord. Because the Lord's covered every base on what you and I, especially we as children, but certainly as human beings, but certainly as children of God, everything that we need to stay away from, He's got the bases covered. And we have the Spirit of God living within us to tell us to stay away from it. "Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." God says this, but no, I'm going to do this. "And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's, you know, to grow up in the Lord, to go on to the plane of maturity, there's where it's at. It's bringing even the thinking captive to Christ. So, Brother Jim, whoa. that's big and that's hard and that's deep and that's difficult. Yeah. But it's not impossible with the Lord. We got to want it as the Lord's children. We've got to pursue it. And here we are given assurance that the Lord can help us in it. Having, verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Disobedience. You and I, we've sinned, haven't we? How can we get revenge on that sin? How can we say in our lives that that sin was wrong? As an example, you've heard me talk about this before. As a young man, I had sin and wickedness that I pursued as a young adult. I did it. I'm ashamed of it. I don't want to talk about it, and I'm not. Maybe on occasion, I might bring it up, but a very God-led occasion to bring up that I was a party to such wickedness to maybe try to help somebody else. But you know how that can be avenged? My Lord has forgiven me, and He saved me from those sins. Praise be to His name. But you know how those can be avenged? How those can be revenge against that wickedness of my youth? By being obedient. By telling what the truth is to you young folks. And tell them what God says is right. And as a parent and as a grandparent, not buying into this bill of goods that says, well, I did it. I just really don't see how I can tell my child any different. No, don't even go there. Because the truth is what makes us free and what helps us all. So when I did it, it was wrong. And listen, if you've not gone there, don't go there. Stay away from it. Because God knows best. Our Lord knows best. And so how can there be revenge against all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled? To show the right way. That what God says is true and it's good. That purity is right and is the right way. And the blessed way and a blessing from God indeed. Again, in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Pure thinking. Pure thoughts. Thoughts like Jesus has. Thoughts like Jesus had and has when He became a man. I tell you, that's what we need. That's the place of blessing. That's what will glorify our Lord. And that's what will be a revenge against our sin. As I mentioned last time, I want to read this one verse in closing, and this one passage in 1 John chapter 3. Turn here, if you will, 1 John chapter 3. And listen to this about purity. Are you saved? Do you believe and trust that the Lord Jesus Christ came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for you, that you might be saved? That it was accomplished, that you could be saved, that's the way and the reason you were saved? Listen to what the Word of God says to us. You claim the Lord as Savior. 1 John 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him, our Lord Jesus, not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We don't have to wait and see. Have you ever met anybody that said, well, in the end, we'll find out. I tell you what, you can know now. You can be saved now. You can know and have assurance now. Not wait and find out. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, how we will be when Christ comes. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. I tell you what, this is a lovely beautiful, wondrous, powerful thing to think about. Amen. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Listen, and every man that hath this hope in him, you have that hope? That promise to you as a child of God that Jesus is coming? He's coming back for you, and he's going to finish salvation. Understand, our souls are saved, but our body will be saved. He's going to finish. It'll be complete. Threefold complete. Body, soul, and spirit saved. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Jesus is pure. Jesus is pure. You know, Jesus didn't save us so we could go around getting dirty. He didn't do it. He just did not do it. But he saved us that we might be an example, a witness, a reflector of his glory, that we might bring forth good works, obedience, to be a testimony and witness to a lost and dying world. Like somebody was used to be a witness of such to us. We are to be a witness to others, a good witness, not a bad witness, not a poor witness, not a dirty witness, but a good witness of good things in Christ. And may the Lord help us that we would seek, that we would ensue, that we would pursue purity in our lives in every respect.